Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
We're in it, Lord. You said you've opened the heaven over this place. So we praise you and we thank you according to your word. We give you glory, Jesus. We give you glory, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help me, Father. Help me. Help me to say what you once said. There's so much that I could say, but I want to say what you once said, Lord. God, fill my mouth with your words. I praise you. We thank you. It's always in Jesus we pray. In his name, in his authority, in his character. We come to you, Father. We ask these things. We believe you to do it. Amen. Amen. I sure appreciate the praise team. I thank God for these people. I thank God for you. I've just been the last couple of days just really happy and thankful for all that God has been doing and all that he's doing. And I just see your faces and I'm so happy. Kathy and I were talking about this, yesterday, how sometimes she just walks through the church and this is an amazing facility. And we got, notice, it very interesting thing. We got a notice from the insurance company. It would cost $2.9 million to replace this building. And, you know, when you go to the bank and you try to borrow some money, they say it's worth $300,000. So y'all figure that one out. I guess it's all a matter of perspective. But it's funny. It's funny and it's not. But we're just so grateful. I mean, we go through that kitchen. I mean, there's restaurants that don't have kitchens like that. And it's just so good. And we're so blessed. And we are so thankful. We're so glad that you're a part of it. And you know, pastoring a country church, there's turkey season, there's fishing season, there's deer season, there's crappie season and flathead season. And then there's oil wells that have to be pulled and houses that have to be built and horses that have to be broke and cows that have to be worked. And that, you know, there's just folks are busy and a lot of things going on. And so, you know, everybody can't be here every week. And then we put this out on the internet and on television and some people just would rather watch in their pajamas with a cup of coffee at the house. And I get that. And so I think today, a lot of what I'm going to say, there's two, it's like I said, there's perspectives. The insurance company says this place is worth $2.9 million and it's going to cost a lot of money for you to continue to keep this coverage. The bank says, well, it's only worth $300,000 and we can only loan you 10% of that, which, you know, that's an exaggeration, but. You see what I'm saying? Perspectives. And so what I'm going to share to you today, there's a couple of ways of looking at this. One is this is the message that you need to preach. This is the message that you need to preach. When you go out of those walls and you tell people about Jesus, the things that I'm going to share with you today, this is the message that you preach to the lost. This is the gospel. I'm going to share the gospel with you today. For those that are watching online and via television, I don't know if there's anybody lost in here this morning. It's always a possibility. Looking around, I don't necessarily see anybody that doesn't know Jesus. But if you don't know Jesus, then the perspective you need to look at is, I need to believe what's being said today. Because that's how we get saved. You've heard me say this, and it's always been a point of contention for me. And I don't know where it came from. People started praying this thing called the sinner prayer, and it's nowhere in the scripture. It's just not biblical. The Bible doesn't say to pray to get saved. It doesn't. The Bible says believe. With the heart we believe that Jesus is God's Son. With the mouth we confess that God raised him from the dead. And if you do that, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. You got to believe. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works. You've heard me. You saw me bring the whiteboard up. Some of you did not too long ago. And I turned the gospel into a mathematical equation. And I wrote salvation plus works, or grace plus works equals salvation. And I wrote faith plus grace equals salvation. And only one of those correct. And it's faith plus grace, grace plus faith. That's any time that works is on the left side of the equation, it's an error. It's not right. We are created for good works in Christ. So in other words, the good works don't start till you get saved. That's when the good works start. And so if there are no good works in your life, you're probably not saved. So if there's no good works in your life, if you don't know Jesus has changed you, your life has changed, you know your life has changed when you believed, if there's no good works, then you need to listen from the perspective that I need to believe what's being preached here today because I need to get saved. And I've had people ask the question, what does it mean to be saved? You know, what am I supposed to get saved from? Well, I'm going to share in detail, but I'm just kind of throwing this out there because you learn by repetition. You get saved from yourself. You get saved from yourself. You get saved from sin. You get saved from eternal death. Yeah, you get saved from a lot. Just getting saved from myself was a big deal. I was one of the most self-destructive people ever. And so thankful that Jesus was merciful to me. And it's all about Jesus. And I'm going to talk to you today. The title today is Our King is a Good King. We're still talking about the King. Our King is a Good King. And kings of old, you know, we don't understand today. I mean, we, especially in America, we are so independent and we are such free thinkers. And we really don't care what the government thinks. I mean, we hate what they think. We hate what they do. We rebel against it. We don't like it. We hate taxes. I mean, the list goes on and on of the things that we despise about government. But in the ancient days, if you despised government, you better not let it be known. Because with the look of his eyes, the king could have your head removed. Kings were not to be trifled with. Now there were good kings. David was a good king. The people loved King David. He was good to the people. He always wanted to do right by the people. He always wanted to help the people. And that kind of king is loved by the people. But there were other kings that were evil and the people were terrified of them. Nero was a vicious emperor. He, and an emperor is the same as a king. And he killed so many people. I mean, he was ruthless and brutal. And if you were a political dissident, if you didn't agree with him, you better not let it be known. You better keep your mouth shut and hide. And it was a lot easier to hide back in those days than it is in these. As long as your cell phone is on, I am not sure what all they know, but I'm convinced it's a lot. You know, when they built that city for the NSA. Hello, boys and girls. I know you're listening. Technology today is terrifying. And what they do with it. But even today, compared to ancient days, it's no comparison. Kings had incredible authority and power. A single man ruling an entire kingdom. You could see where corruption could easily slip in. But our king is a good king. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you have your Bible, open it. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to preach the gospel to you. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Now, what an amazing passage. The very first five words, and you, he made alive. And you, he made alive. Now, if God had to make us alive, it must mean that we were dead. We were dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. The word trespasses comes from a Greek word meaning to sideslip. In other words, you're on this straight and narrow path. I believe everybody is born on that until they reach the age of accountability. That's why I don't worry. I mean, it's horrible when children die. It's awful when children die. But I don't worry about their eternal salvation. That's the only point I'm making there. It's awful when children die. It's terrible. Parents should not have to bury their children. It's terrible. But they are on the path. I believe that. I know the Bible says we're born into sin. And what he means by that is when you reach the age of accountability, when you come to the place that you finally realize, and I don't know what that age is. Maybe it's different for different people. I don't know. And that stuff is above my pay grade. But when you reach the age of accountability, the very first time you step off the path, the very first time you sideslip, you are off the path until God puts you back on it. You can't get back on it. You cannot get back on it. That's the gospel. People need to understand you don't make the decision to get saved. God picks you up and puts you back on the path. because you can't get there without him. I've heard so many people say, I found God. No, you didn't. He's not lost. You are. If you don't know God, you're the one lost, not God. God's never been lost. And man, I heard such a cool deal this week. Kent Hovind, the man is brilliant. And he got thrown in jail because of some tax deals. But I think the biggest reason they threw him in jail is because he was turning the evolutionists on their ear. He at one time he had a $150,000 reward out there, $150,000 challenge to any evolutionist that would debate him. He's a creation scientist. He said, you debate me and win, we'll be sitting in front of a board of our peers. If you debate me and win, I'll give you $150,000. He debated the top evolutionists in the world, and he shuts them down almost immediately. They have nothing to say because his arguments are foolproof. He said, take for instance the termite. The termite eats wood. How many of you know that? In Osage County, you should know that. You lay a piece of wood down on the ground in Osage County, in 30 days it'll have termites in it. Unless it's treated or poisoned or something. He said, inside the termite lives little critters. The termite eats the wood, but cannot digest it. The little critters inside the termite digest the wood, and in turn give the termite nutrients from the wood. The critters can't live without the termites. The termites can't live without the critters. Which one evolved first? The evolutionists. He said, you argue against me that I have blind faith. He said, I say to you, you have blind faith. Oh, that's not true. They ask him, where does your God come from? He says, I don't know. He said, you believe that matter used to exist in this tiny fragment. All matter in the universe. That's what the Big Bang Theory is. All matter in the universe was contained in this tiny ball, and at some point billions and billions and billions and billions and tens of billions, maybe hundreds of billions of years ago, this tiny ball of matter explodes. And everything that we know, every creature, every planet, every star, everything that we know of came out of that ball of matter. That's the Big Bang Theory. There's only two theories. The Big Bang and creation. Kent says, where did the matter come from? The scientists say, I don't know. He said, you have the same blind faith that I do. Now, you can believe in the Big Bang Theory if you want to. But it's way more plausible for me to believe in God. And he's not lost. We are. Until he picks us up from our wayward being and puts us back on the path. There's an old song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, Being good is just a fable. I just can't because I'm not able. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. See, not a single one of us are ever going to be good enough to make heaven. Not a single one of us are ever going to be too bad to make heaven. We were dead in trespasses. We were off the path. We needed God to pick us up and put us back on it. Our God did that. Our King is a good King. Not only were we dead in trespasses, those things that got us off the path, the unintentional, the intentional, but God says we were dead in sin. We were dead in sin. The Bible doesn't mince words. People say, well, I don't know what sin is. The Bible says if you know to do good and you don't do it, that's sin. And if you know or if something that you do is not in faith, if you are not absolutely convinced that this is not sin and you go ahead and do it, then it's sin. Jesus said this. He said, here's how everything is summed up. He said, you love God with everything in you, and you love people the way I love you. He said, anything outside of that is sin. If you love people like God loves people, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to sleep with their spouse. If you love people the way Jesus loves people, you're not going to be mistreating people. You're not going to be ugly or angry and treat people in an ungodly and unholy manner. And if you love God, you're going to do what He says. See, no one is immune. Not only have we trespassed against God, but we've also sinned against God. And both result in spiritual death. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but Christ has made us alive. Our King is a good King. So what does it mean to be made alive? First, God had to forgive us for our sin. He had to forgive our sin. That's why Jesus had to die. The wages of sin is death. There had to be death in order for us to be made right. Jesus had to die to pay the penalty for all mankind. In Colossians 2, it says in verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that means made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way. He nailed it to his cross. See, not only did he forgive us, there were books in heaven that contained everything that we ever did. Boy, if that doesn't make you nervous, you have led a sheltered life. There's things I don't want nobody to know about. And he took that handwriting that was against me, he nailed it to his cross, and he blotted it out. A clean slate. We cannot be good enough. We cannot be too bad to be saved. Because Jesus' sacrifice is the only thing sufficient to pay the full penalty for our sin. Jesus blotted out the list of sin against us when it was nailed to his cross. Now, will you believe that? And I told you, I've had people ask me, and I've already said this once, but I'm going to say it again. People say, what do I need to be saved from? It's like offensive to them that people, you tell them, you know, and we do. We tell people, you need to be saved. And we're speaking Christianese there. And I get it. I get it that they don't understand it. So we need to explain it. We need to tell them what they're going to be saved from. We need to be saved from the penalty of sin. And I remember our neighbor when we lived at Chestnut. He would come over and watch us clean fish and every sentence. I'm not talking. And he's one of the nicest guys that you're ever going to meet. I mean, he's a great guy, but he had the most pitiful language. There's only one guy that I know had worse language than him. And I'm not going to tell you who it was. But Lincoln can tell you, because we took a couple of hogs over there one day to get butchered. And after we walked out of that place, I said, "What'd you think of that, Lincoln?" He said, "I ain't never heard nobody talk like that." It was astonishing. And he goes to church. But anyway, that threw me right there. I'm just going to be honest. We need to be saved from the penalty of sin. And our neighbor, he would come over and blankety blank, "That's a nice fish. Man, blankety blank, that's a good one. Blankety blank, blankety blank, blankety blank." And I would call him by name, and because Rusty and Ryan were about this tall. And I was foul mouthed, but I tried not to talk that way in front of my kids. I didn't want them to talk that way, but Ryan ended up talking that way anyway. He heard it from Red. I'm just going to throw Red under the bus right now. And I said, "Red, what? My boys, don't talk like that." And one day Kathy asked him, "Red, are you saved?" He's like, "I don't know, what are you talking about?" "So are you saved from your sin?" He said, "Ah, Kathy, I've never sinned." See, he might not have thought he did, but he did. Because all have sinned. And that's a good point right there. You may think that everything you're doing is all right. And so I just want to ask you this morning. Have you asked God if what you're doing is all right? Because His opinion is way more important than yours. We may have deluded ourselves. "Oh, this ain't that big a deal. God doesn't mind me doing this. It's all right if I do this." Well, maybe you ought to ask somebody that knows. See, we need to be saved from ourselves. And if you've been alive any amount of time at all, you know you can't be good. You know you can't be good. You do something horrible, and most men, if not all men, at some point have done something horrible. We've said something terrible to our family. We've done something awful to our family. I don't know of any men that haven't. And we tell ourselves, "That was terrible. I will never do that again." But we just lied to ourselves. Because we will do it again. And there's a good possibility what we'll do will be worse. As long as we're the ones trying to be good. If God has not picked you up and put you back on the path, there is no way that you're ever going to live a life that is good. It's not going to happen. None of us are going to be good. We need saved from ourselves. My dear brother and sister, we need saved from our sin. We need saved from ourselves. If you're watching today and you're not saved, you need to be saved. If you're listening in this room today and you're not saved, you need to be saved. And our King is a good King, and He will save you. In Isaiah 55, this is a powerful passage. Verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." See, that's the key. You got to return to God. You have to run to God. And if you feel like running to God, it's because He's telling you, come on! He will draw the humble. He will give more grace to the humble. Our King is a good King, and He will abundantly pardon. He not only pardons us for one or two of our crimes. See, that's a big deal with governors and presidents. They can pardon people for their crimes, but generally, they'll just pardon them for the ones they're in prison for right now, or the ones that they're about to be tried for. They may have been convicted two or three other times. Maybe misdemeanors, maybe felonies, maybe they did jail time, maybe they didn't. But whatever they're in jail for right now, they'll just pardon that crime. But our King, He pardons all of our crimes. Our King expunges our record, hallelujah. He abundantly pardons. See, people may or may not forgive you for what you've done. There's a reality. There are Christian people that have been forgiven by God. They've had their record expunged, and yet there's people that will never forgive them for what they did. It's just a reality. If you don't have somebody in your life that just won't forgive you, you are certainly a lot better person than me. See, our King is a good King, and He will abundantly pardon. He will not only pardon us for those one or two crimes, but He will pardon you for every crime. He will expunge your record, and He will make you clean. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 6, and He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. I'm telling you, there it is, and that's it. I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care what you believe. That's what the Bible says. You have been saved by grace through faith. And then Paul goes on to say, and not of works. Because if we are saved because of what we do, we will boast about it. And in Romans 11, around verse 22, it talks about the goodness and the severity of God. It talks about the severity that fell on those under the law. And then it talks about God's goodness upon us. And it talks about the way that we stay in His goodness is to stay humble. We don't brag about how good we are. We don't brag about what we've done for God. We don't brag about how righteous we are, how holy we are, or it's no wonder that God would save somebody like me. If that's the attitude you've got, I severely wonder if you are saved. Because God gives grace to the humble. And it's not a matter of do we humble ourselves one time, then God comes in our life and then we start feeling real good about ourselves. And I'm not saying that that won't happen, because it's happened to me plenty. But anytime I do, God is faithful. All I have to do is think I'm doing good. This is a lesson I've learned the hard way many times. All I have to do is think I'm doing good. If that thought crosses my mind, nowadays the first thing I do is I hit the altar. I say, God, there's some devil attacking my mind telling me I'm doing good, and I know he's a liar because there ain't nothing good in me except you. I know I'm not doing good, God. Whatever this thing is, deliver me. Devil, be gone in the name of Jesus. All I have to do is think I'm doing good and then walk in that. It won't be very many steps. Bam! It'll be a face plant. And it'll usually be in front of people. Because God wants me to remember. It ain't you, stupid. It's my grace. It's my son. It's the blood of my son. It's the power of his sacrifice. It's the penalty that he paid for. It's the suffering that he bore. It was the cross that the only thing that made you acceptable to me was my son on that tree. And I proved it 3 days later when I took him out of the tomb. Outside of that boy, you ain't got nothing. Long as I can stay right there, I'm in him. You hear me? I didn't say I'm good. Those are bad words. We need to get those out of our vocabulary. I'm never good. He is good. Our King is a good King. For by grace you are saved. And not of works. Hallelujah. He said, for grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. You want to know where the good works are? They're in him. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are good works, but it's a result of Jesus working in us. Every day, almost every day, I say, Lord, I humble myself. And if I'm not humble, humble me. Because you said you give more grace to the humble. And God, I need more grace. I need your influence on my heart that demonstrates itself in my life. That the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in me, God. Because I can't do it without you, Lord. I can't do it without you, Lord. I've tried so many times, and I've failed every time. God of heaven, I need you. I need you, Lord. See, as long as we think that works are somehow what makes us right with God, then we're going to think when we fail in works that we're not right with God. And I'm not going to say that I believe you cannot walk away from God, because just read the rest of Romans 11. I mean, it seems pretty clear to me. He talks about the goodness and the severity of God, the severity, and he's talking about those that rebelled against him and that they cut them off. And the goodness on us, because we humbled ourselves before him and we believed. But he said, don't boast in that. Don't get arrogant in that. He said, because he can cut you off too. He said, don't be arrogant, but fear. That's what Paul said. Now, why would the Bible tell us that we can be cut off if we can't be cut off? I've heard a lot of people say it's not possible. Well, then they need to take out that last sentence, otherwise you'll be cut off. Because that's what it says right there. And if God doesn't mean that, I wish he wouldn't have put it in there. Because that messes me up, thinking that he doesn't mean it, but he said it. I'm telling you, I believe the road to heaven is more secure than most Pentecostal people believe. I believe in security in Him as long as I remain humble before Him and I remain in Him. And I ask Him almost every day, keep me humble, Lord. Keep me humble, Lord. Keep me in recognition that You saved me. I didn't save myself. That the only thing that made me right with You was Your Son. As long as I stay in that mindset, it's a safe place. I believe that. I'm comfortable there. I'm happy there. And I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passes all understanding. And I'm not even going to say I understand it. But He said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ there. And I tell Him that too. I said, God, if You really didn't mean that, I wish You wouldn't have said it. But You said that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And I don't understand that fully. I don't get it fully. But that's what You said. And that's got to be good. The righteousness of God in Christ, that's got to be good. Our King is a good King. Kings of old could be ruthless, or they could be good. But no one has ever approached the goodness of our King. And that's the story that we need to be telling. That's the story that we need to believe. Because that's the story of grace. That is the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus. And it is powerful to save. And it's what this generation needs. I am convinced. I have never been more convinced that God has spoken prophetically in this day, that Isaiah 61 is where we are at. When Jesus 2,000 years ago stood in the synagogue and He made this statement, I believe He released this over the church. I'm winding down quickly, so be patient with me just a few more minutes. This time, I'm telling you the power of this gospel. This time when Rabbi Avraham and Dr. Ermeli went to India, they go to India, they go to Sri Lanka every year on missions trips, and they have literally raised up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches and pastors in Sri Lanka and India. Those precious little people, I would have them here all the time, but they are so hard to understand. And if you're watching, I love you. I can't tell you how much I love you, how much I appreciate you. And I don't think they could understand me in Finland, and I don't think they could understand me in India. I love these people. And they went to the region where Thomas landed in India. 2,000 years ago, Thomas came to India. And in this region, he preached the gospel. And to this day, Christianity is pervasive in that region. It's the overwhelming faith in that region. That's the power of the gospel. For 2,000 years, it has continued to flourish where one apostle went. And I believe this word is for this generation. I believe it is for people like me, the older people, that our job is to preach the gospel. And I believe when this generation that is coming up right now, I believe when they believe the gospel, you're going to see this take place. In Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's talking about my generation, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to preserve those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I believe when this generation believes the gospel that is being preached, he is about to raise up a generation that they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. I believe God is about to sweep through the earth in a powerful way. And he's going to raise up a people that will preach the gospel. And he's going to raise up a people that will be generationally transformational. And people say it's just past hope. It's too dark. God can't do it. Who do you serve, Allah? Buddha, your God? Some Hindu God? Because however many years ago, the Bible says it's about 6,000. He said everything that is seen was made from nothing by my God. Now, if he can make everything that is seen, I've been on top of the Rocky Mountains at night. I don't know how many more stars you can see there, but the sky is filled with stars. It's way different than it is around here. He made all of that out of nothing. America is not too broke for my God to fix. My God is about to rebuild the desolations of many generations. It might take the rapture of the church. I don't know. I'm clueless. I don't tell God how to do his business. I don't even tell God what his business is. I believe he gives me little glimpses. And he expects me to say it. And he says, stand back, boy. I'm fixing to show you something. This week I got an email. It's Kairos Ministries. They have 36,000 volunteers that go into prisons all across the nation, and they're coming to Dick Connors and they want us to participate. What, you just talked to somebody? What was that? Two different ones. Let's hear it. You know, we've been trying to figure out the next step in media. And coincidentally, this company calls Kathy and they want to come out and tell us what we need to do to expand and take our media in different places. Ryan just came to his mom and said, his brother-in-law pastors a church in Arkansas, and this church is just flourishing, and he has some really cool ideas to help us get things moving in a good direction. I'm telling you, it seems like sometimes things aren't moving, but behind the scenes, there is a God who is seated on the throne, and he's a king, and he's our king, and he is a good king. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Before we leave, I'm just going to ask the question. Is there anyone here that is not saved? If you're not saved, just raise your hand. I will not embarrass you. I just want you to believe. Anybody that has not believed the gospel, there's always a chance. And I don't want to, I believe it was Finney one time that was preaching. It's either Finney or Moody. It may have been Moody. He's preaching in Chicago and he was going to call the nets in like later in the week. He didn't give an invitation. And the great fire of Chicago started during that crusade. And he always wondered how many souls perished in that fire that he didn't give them an opportunity to receive Christ in those meetings. And so if you have never believed the gospel, believe the gospel. It's getting ready to be warm enough to baptize. I'm sure it's probably warm enough for somebody like Ryan to baptize now. But it's going to have to warm up a little bit before I do. He's young. Young people can take cold water better than older people. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, we will pray for you. That's all that I have this morning. I'm so grateful for all of you, thankful for all of you. I appreciate you greatly. I want you to know that. If you need prayer this morning, we'll pray for you. If you want to pray, these altars are always open. But I'm dismissing the service, and if you need prayer, you just come. God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.